As Helen said, I'm stepping in for Andy this morning, and he wanted to say something on 2 Corinthians 9, and I thought it was good to honor that. And of course, he would have said something completely different from what I'm going to say, I think. But it's still the same Bible, so I want to keep it brief, because after my preaching, Inge is going to update us on the finances of ICL, and this kind of leads up to that. I would like to read to you from 2 Corinthians 9, from verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9. I give you a little time to look it up. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies feed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their heart will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the word of the Lord. Well, Inge is of course going to speak about the finances of ICL. This passage is not about that. This passage is about Paul collecting money for the church in Jerusalem. And he does so in Greece and Macedonia. And he does so because the church in Jerusalem, it's where the church started, is a poor church. So he wants to give the Christians in Greece to give something back. It's his passion. And on the background of that, he says something on generosity. I think it's good to think about. And I would like to keep it simple. And I'll not go to discuss the whole passage, but just ask a few simple questions on generosity. First is why? As I've read, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The thanksgiving to God that stands at the end here also starts at the beginning. We are generous because God is generous. That's where it starts. He has given his own son, and with that he has given us everything. And everything we have kind of received from him. As a church, we do not have member contributions. We do not have a fee. For example, you need to pay 50 euros each month, and then you are a member. Why don't we do that? Because we are all different, and we want us all to be generous. Why? Because that is how God is. And something of that generosity rubs off on us, I think, I hope. You know, I think my wife is way more generous than I am, but somehow it rubs off on me. And it helps me to be more generous. It's good to be that kind of community. And we can be generous in many ways. We can be generous in money. We can be generous in time. But it's not about guilt or something like that. But it's about something in our heart that we want to give space. That's why. Because, well, face it, God, Jesus, God's generous. How can we be generous? Well, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's something we often say when there is the offering bags go around, that God loves a cheerful giver. You know, Ingrid is going to say about the finances. You should not increase giving because you feel guilty. It's a bad reason to do so. It is because you feel generous, because you want to give. Now, when you read through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and also Romans 15, well, I get the impression Paul's a bit uncomfortable, because it is in his heart to help the church in Jerusalem, and he wants to collect as much money as possible. But he does not want to feel them pressured somehow. That they feel under compulsion to say, feeling manipulated. And that's also true for us. How can you contribute to making ICL work? Well, we need your donations. But we feel that it's important that you give them of your own free will. And some of us have enough money to be generous there. We can only be generous with what we have. Otherwise, it's difficult. And some have enough time. They can be generous with time. And being generous together is something nice. Because in this passage, you see that generosity brings forth generosity. And maybe we can think of that. When you meet someone who's generous, you feel more happy because it's nice. If someone gives something to you, well, I don't like it, but well, I must. Yeah, it's not a nice experience. Generosity makes us as a church, I think, a nicer church. And I hope we can be that. To whom? Well, this is not from 2 Corinthians 9. But a quote from Acts 22, Paul goes to Jerusalem and he becomes a prisoner there. And he holds a speech, and the crowd listened to Paul until he said this, speaking about Christ. They raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him. He is not fit to live." You know, the relationship between the church in Jerusalem and the churches in Crete is not always a good one. You know, the church in Jerusalem are mainly Jews who value their being Jews. And I find it very difficult that all those non-Jews become Christians without becoming Jews. You know, it is easy to be generous to someone who you think is nice. But Paul collects money for a church that they feel is sometimes difficult. It's also in church, you know, you can't give a lot of money because you agree with everything. And you can hold back money because, well, I don't like that. I want them to change. That's not really generous, don't you think? It's also with the differences we have as a church. You know, why are we a church? Because God wants us to live with all the differences we have. To live the love of Christ among each other. It's easy to love someone who you like. But I think it's difficult to love someone who I find, well, difficult. Always disagreeing. You know, it's also how we are church. We are a diverse church. You know, last week Andy said something about that, about this passion that we are all different, all nations, but all kinds of personalities, all kinds of priorities, all kinds of denominations. Being generous also means that we sit in the service to something that is not meaningful to us, but we look around to see other people enjoying that. And then enjoying that with the other. That's being generous. It's not only to people we like, but also to the people we find more difficult. Well, it's not all about money. It's about an attitude. And my prayer, well, for myself, but I would say also for us all, is that we may be a generous church in everything. That we give to each other from what we have received from God. That's what I want to share with you this morning. And now I hand over to Inge for the more practical side of it.